Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 30th. My name is Todd Stiles, and one of the pastors at First Family. Really glad you've joined in to this episode. And I want to just take a few moments, if I can, on this podcast and share with you a resource that I think will help you, as it's helping me currently, pray the prayers of the Bible. And I give that to you as an answer to the question that came to me just in conversation after we preached on prayer for 2 weeks. If you recall, we went over what we called Paul's masterclass on prayer. And someone just said to me almost in passing, is it okay if we just pray the prayers of the Bible? I think what they were actually wondering was, do I have to pray those exact words, or do I have to make up my own words, or how can I pray in a way that gets to the heart of this text, but what if I don't have the ability to say the words right? Can I just say the words of the Bible? And I want to give an affirming yes to that question. It is okay to pray the prayers of the Bible. I don't think I would take that as a wooden answer, like you can only say it exactly like it's written. I think it's fine to pray the prayers of the Bible in your own words. By the same token, I think it's okay to use the exact words in the Bible. And so let's not let this be a legalistic parameter on either end. We can pray the exact prayers of the Bible using those words, whether it be, you know, in various translations, or we can know the heartbeat of the prayer and use our own words. I think the real key is to know that those prayers in the Bible are given for our benefit, for us as an example. And so, yes, let's use them and let's pray them. To that end, let me offer a resource that I just picked up this week. In fact, I wasn't even aware of this book, and I've read this author a good bit. It's D.A. Carson, and it's his book, Praying with Paul, A Call to Spiritual Reformation. Beware, there are a few editions out of this. I think there are at least two. There's also some video curriculum, workbooks, and stuff like that. But the book is a look at seven prayers of Paul's, such as in 2 Thessalonians, or the one we looked at ourselves in Colossians, one from Philippians, at least three from Ephesians. And what D.A. Carson does in this book is walk you through these prayers, showing us how to pray them and how this kind of praying in our life, they are transformative. And so I heard about this book in an interesting way. Last week, our church planters, we were meeting for prayer one Wednesday morning. We meet once a month via Zoom for prayer. And so we're together in the 435 network. It's titled after John 435. And so we meet once a month just for about 30 minutes on Zoom to pray. And Parker, the pastor at Anglican Gospel Church, was leading us through our prayer time this month. And he referenced this book, Praying with Paul by D.A. Carson. And so he just kind of led us through some of the things that D.A. Carson suggests using one of the prayers from Paul for each of us pastors. So we each read the prayer, then we prayed together. That's where I first heard about the book. And so as soon as we finished our prayer time, I immediately was intrigued and went and purchased the book. And so I'm reading it currently and am really enjoying it. It's even amplifying in my own life the necessity for prayer. It's amplifying my thirst for more prayer. And it actually is just the prayers of the Bible, expanded, explained, but also they're the basis for how we should pray. And that's the key to further sanctification. So I want to recommend to you this book by D.A. Carson, Praying with Paul. I think if you were to Google that, you'd find it. But the subtitle is A Call to Spiritual Reformation. And I'd encourage you to pick it up. You'll probably find the same thing happening in your life that I'm finding. The more I read it, the more I read the scriptures in the book, and the more I read his teaching of them and how he really is encouraging us to pray as a most fundamental way to grow spiritually. I think you'll find your appetite amplified. I think you'll find your knowledge growing. And if I can say so, I think you'll find your ability, and I mean that in every right sense of the word, I think you'll find your ability to pray growing as well. In fact, let me share with you something he says here in the beginning part, the preface. I think this is something I would agree with, and I find it very convicting as well. But he talks about the fact that prayer is hard and that it's not surprising or depressing that that's true. And we would agree with that. I think every honest Christian would say prayer's hard. It's a discipline. It's not easy. And we wouldn't find that depressing or surprising. But then he says this, I quote, "What is both surprising and depressing is the sheer prayerlessness that characterizes so much of the Western church. It is surprising because it is out of step with the Bible, which portrays what Christian living should be. And it is depressing because it frequently coexists with abounding Christian activity that somehow seems hollow, frivolous, and superficial." End quote. I find that very intriguing and very, again, convicting, because he seems to say to us, we all know it's difficult, it's hard, and yet it seems like we just continue to persist in not praying instead of trying to figure out how we can pray more effectively. And he says this coexists with much Christian activity. And so it does seem as though he would be in agreement with what we say at First Family a lot, and what we admit we're not experts at, but what we admit is a continued pursuit here that prayer is our first and best action. And while I believe that, and while I know our church affirms that, I'll admit to you, it's a constant pursuit to make sure that's actually true, because prayer seems to be one of those things that can easily be taken off the radar while other things seem to get a lot of attention. So this book has been very helpful. It's been affirming. It's been very convicting. So I hope I not only answered the question that was asked, I hope that I gave you a tool by which you can actually implement the answer. Yes, pray the prayers of the Bible. Here's a book that will show you 7 of them, give you insight into them, and show you how to pray them. And let me end with one quote that Carson uses in his book, a quote by Robert Murray McShane. As I read this, I was just in such agreement, and yet also my heart was crying out, like, God, that's what I want to be said of me. I trust it'll be what your heart cries out, but here's what we know is true. McShane said this at one point, "What a man is alone and on his knees before God, that he is and no more." That's a beautiful quote. It's staggeringly true. And I think as we think about our own life, we would authentically and transparently admit in that moment before God on our knees, when we are exposed and stripped and naked before our Creator, we would admit that is actually what we are and nothing more or nothing less. And what that does, it shows me the vital nature of those moments with God, of prayer, of intimacy with the Father, of being unafraid to approach His throne boldly, yet humbly, authentically, without any pretense, and just laying ourselves out before the Lord in prayer, praying the prayers of the Bible, asking to know Christ more deeply, the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and so many of the other prayers, and just falling on our knees and our face before God in complete dependence, praying before Him for His will and work in our life. The more that we do that, I'm convinced the more then the other activities we do make sense and have impact. So I'll be praying for you this week, First Family, that we will, in an increasing fashion, pray the prayers of the Bible.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.